You see, gold has been dormant for a very, very long time. We haven't had these kind of inflation pressures really since the 90s. And so what we're starting to see, I believe, is we're starting to see a capitulation in the market, and we're starting to see big institutional investors move into gold. Now, probably the best thing is not to own gold, physical gold, but to own the gold miners. And I'm going to be talking about this again on the show today. I talked about it a little bit yesterday.
By Mark Manarvini, who is a three-time world champion trader. And basically, he indicated in this tweet that this is the first time since 1993 that he has been very interested and bullish on gold. I mean, most of the time, it has not performed well as an asset. But right now, it seems like we're seeing institutional investors move into this area of the market.
We look at the gold and silver and gems mining group as a whole, we'll notice that it is starting to form a cup and handle and breaking out from this cup and handle. What this means is that we are seeing institutional investing coming into this group. At a time when volume is drying up in a lot of other areas, it seems as if the gold, silver, and gems group is starting to see increased activity. This is indicates a bullish trend in the group. I'll be talking about this on the show today at 5. Hope to see you then. You see, gold has been dormant.
Hello, everybody. Jim Malone coming to you live on Dallas Trading Floor. Just a little bit of intro there on the gold stocks. Mark Manarvini, who I follow very closely, and it's a three or four time investing champion. He basically said that this is the first time he's really seen it like this since 1993. Now, I believe it or not, was around in 1993. It's hard to believe that, but I was. I was not really active in the market at the time, but I remember the inflation that we had during that period of time, and it was pretty intense. And there was a movement. There was a movement into the gold area, and it was not a great time in the market. I'll tell you that it was not. But there was a movement into gold. So this is kind of something that I think really is worth looking at. I definitely have been trying to look to find good plays in this area, and I think I found some, and I want to kind of talk to you a little bit about that. I did add to two stocks today. Now, one of them, of course, is not a gold stock, and that's ExxonMobil, but the other one, OR, is, and that's an interesting stock. Let me pull up the chart here for OR. And give you kind of a look-see at that. Hold on there just a second. Get that up here. OR. And let's see if we... Yeah, there we go. All right. So basically here we have a stock that is leading this area. And this is... Osseco Resources. Now this is an interesting gold stock in that it doesn't mine gold. It's just a royalty company, and that indeed makes it profitable right away. And it makes it profitable right away. One of the things I really like about this stock is that it has a 100% checklist via the O'Neill O'Neill method. Now, interestingly enough, it's up again after hours. Now, it was down a little bit today. It moved through resistance, and then it's pulled back a little bit, and now it's starting to move up again. It's up 15 cents Currently, at the after hours, it's at 1618. So this is kind of something that I'm looking at. Now, it is extended. I'll be honest with you here. It is extended. It's 10% above the 21-day line. Now, typically, I don't like to buy up this high. I typically like to see it when it's at, you know, 5% or below. So it definitely is extended. But if we look at the weekly chart here, you can see, you know, we're starting to make a very, very nice move. And if we go all the way back here, drawing a line, you can see that this has been between $14 and $15 basically for, you know, really, really since about 2000, believe it or well, not quite, March of 2001. This is between, you know, it's kind of come up to the 14-day moving average, and then it's stalled out. But now we're starting to see it move beyond that. And this is significant because it is starting to make a higher high. And this, in turn, is starting to show some real progress. Now, here's the thing that I want to point out as well. The sales in the last quarter, this is the December quarter, we're up 22%. The profits were up 34%. But the interesting thing is we're coming to very, very soon, we're going to be at earnings, and that's going to be basically in May 4th is when they're going to announce earnings. Now, the interesting thing about gold is that it is accounted for differently than almost anything else that you're going to find. One of the interesting things about gold is if you are a gold miner and you produce gold, you can immediately recognize the value of that gold when it comes out of the mine. Now, that's not the case with GM and other people that make things that have work in progress inventories. You can't do that. The accounting rules don't allow you to do that. So the interesting thing with gold miners is that they tend to be very, you know, if the price of gold goes up and their margins go up, it's almost immediately reflected in the price of the stock. Now, I want to show you another one that I've been loading up on, and this is a Canadian firm. Now, if you notice in the weekly chart, I mean, this has not been stellar. I mean, if you look at it, we're drawing a line basically going all the way back here to 2020, and, you know, it's been in a downward trend, but I do think that it is starting to show strength as well. Interesting thing enough here. Now, this is actually a major gold miner. There's basically three of them in Canada. And this is a major gold miner, and this is starting to show strength here too. I suspect that with the price of gold moving up, that this one will indeed go up. Now, interesting thing about gold here is that gold is a strange commodity. Most of the demand for gold is in Asia. Many of the Asians are loading up on gold. The Chinese are loading up on gold, but they don't mine a lot of gold. A lot of that, of course, I mean, gold is mined everywhere in the world, but the Canadians in particular, also the South Africans, tend to mine most of it. So the interesting thing is while the stock is traded, the stock is basically Canadian stock, which is not typically bought by Chinese investors. Why? Because they don't have access to the markets. So this means that typically Canadian mining stocks typically respond more favorably to an increase in the price of gold than just about anything else. And that's kind of what I'm suspecting here. We see a lot of the institutional investors not finding anything they like in the market. They you know, the financials are in a bad way. We're going to have some problems with banking. And right now there's a liquidity crisis. So much of the big money seems to be moving into gold. Now, can we predict that we're going to double the price of gold in these gold stocks in the next year or so? I don't know. I really don't know. I can't tell you that, but I'm seeing a lot of activity in this area. So just kind of an interesting place to be in the market right now. And definitely I am looking at that for myself, and hopefully, hopefully this works. Here's some of the, now I'm saying this at the same time that I sold a position. And the reason I sold this position was because I did from profit taking, I will be taking, another position in this, but here's the stocks currently that I'm holding long. And I want to put those up here for everyone. I have AEM, of course. This is the Canadian miner. This is a major miner. It was up today. Now, this Oseka Gold Royalties, this was down a little bit, 6 cents, but I think that this is an intermediate correction as the volume is coming up. And then today I did buy a position in ExxonMobil because the stock, that stock has been doing very, very well as well. So basically right now I am basically out of the market except for these gold and these oil stocks, these big oil stocks. Now I did sell a short. I did short a stock. And I've held this short for a while, and that is Square. I think that the financials in general are very, very weak. And Square, I think, has some issues, you know, related to its valuation. I think it's way overvalued. And I am short this stock currently, and it was down today. Now, the question is, will it continue to move downward? Let's take a look at it. This is Block. And the symbol on this one is SQ, kind of confusing because it used to be called Square and now it is called Block. But this is Dorsey's company, who was the CEO of Twitter before the takeover by Elon Musk. And it is starting to, I think, turn over and move lower. So we will see. I basically waited to short it until we had this drop, and then it came back up, and then I waited to short it until I could get a little bit more leverage. And hopefully we're going to be continuing on the downward slide for this one. We will see. You know, it's really, really tough to tell. Shorting is much harder than going long, at least in my experience. And hopefully we'll see it move in the right direction. All right. Well, thank you very much for bearing with me through let's get some questions. And Mr. Cheat wants to take a look at AMD, and this is of course in the chip sector, and AMD seems to be doing fairly well. Let's just kind of look at it here. Yeah, okay, we did test. All right, so basically I'm going back to the chart here and taking a look at AMD. AMD did test the 21-day line, so that, you know, if we get a reversal here, this would probably be a pretty good place to buy it. I'm not as excited about it right now. We are just slightly below the 21-day line, so we could probably enter a position there. The checklist on this one, though, is only 67%, and that is something that I'm a little bit concerned about. Let's take a look at some of the other ones. Let's look at the value investors here. Yeah, and they're 77%. So this is the Benjamin Graham checklist. Think about this checklist is, this is for value investing. And one of the things that I, you know, is not the, let's see if this is a short. Okay, well, we're kind of interesting. Yeah, we're kind of looking at this is the Evel Knievel short sale. This is looking at it as a short. I don't think this is a good short either. So basically, I have to say that AMD, I probably would not be a buyer here. I want to see it move upward trend, but I probably wouldn't short it either. So that's kind of my take on it. That's kind of my take on it. Let's see what Lisa says about Dick's Sporting Goods and I think it's Valero. Let's take a look at Dick's. DKS. And again, you know, retail, there has been some strength in retail, and Dick's is definitely there. They made a nice move upwards after hours. Let's see if they came through earnings or not. Let me just check on the earnings, when those earnings date were. Okay, so they did just come through earnings. It looks like the quarter that ended in January, they definitely had a nice increase in sales, up 7%, but their profits are down. This is the problem that I see with the retail sector in general, is that, you know, it's looking good in terms of the sales, but the profits are, this is just a profitability problem. So I would be a little bit concerned about this. I probably would not be a buyer of Dick's, because this retail leisure products area, I just think is going to be under, if we have more inflation in the market, this retail area is going to be under a lot of pressure. So I think we have to be super careful regarding the retail area, anything in retail, because I just think the consumer right now is strapped. And I think that what we're going to see is people are going to buy fuel and they're going to buy other things like that. But I think it's necessities that are going to rule, at least for now. And I do think we're coming in for a lot of inflation. I mean, I think that we're starting to see the economy slow, but we're still in for a lot of inflation. Now, VLO is different. Of course, that's Valero Energy. I like Valero. I like the group, the energy group in general, because even though this one is down, I do think that we're going to see some, you know, very good profits in the refining area. This is one thing I think that people will buy, even in a recession, is going to be oil and, is going to be gasoline. Their sales were up 16% and 251% in terms of their profitability. So, you know, typically this is not a high profitability area, the refining area, but it's very, very consistent in terms of the cash flow. So I do like this one. The question is, where can we buy this? Well, let's take a look at it on the William O'Neill screen that I do like. 78, that's pretty good in terms of that. Let's see how close to that 21-day line it is. This is the real key that I look for buying. Well, it is almost right at the 21-day line. So this is not a bad place to enter a trade on Valero. You can see that yesterday it did pull all the way back down, but now it's starting to move back up. You know, I think a lot of investors are looking at this, institutional investors are looking at this, and they're like, wow, you know, we really like the solid cash flow of something like a Valero. So let's take a look at some of the fundamentals here. Let's jump on over to the fundamentals and take a look and see kind of if we can find something to be excited about here. The last quarter, the sales were up 16%, very, very good, and the profits were up 251%. So I really like this in terms of its cash flow. This has a PE ratio, a price to earnings ratio of 4, which is phenomenal. I mean, now normally, you know, when the price to earnings ratio is like 4, I have a problem buying it, but this thing is absolutely printing money. The cash flow on this, $37.75 per share. You know, this is phenomenal. This is an extremely profitable company, at least for right now, because again, you know, people are buying fuel, not much else, but I really like this one. So out of those two, I have to say, Lisa, that I think your bet is VLO. And this is not a bad place to buy it. It's very, very close to the 21-day line. And that makes for a very good buy on VLO. And this is one of the areas that I do like. Now, I want to buy more things in the chip sector, in the tech, but I just can't find much that I really, really like. Most everything seems to be a little bit overpriced. So that's been my problem looking at it there. All right, let's see. Sandeep is looking at gold crypto. I don't know what that is. AABB. I don't know what that is. I don't know if I can see that. Let's take a look at it. There we go. No, I can't. Unfortunately, Sandeep, I don't see that. I don't see that as a, you know, as being able to do something. Now, they're very similar. I mean, people are going into crypto to protect their assets. But the problem, I think, with crypto, I think what the reason I'm more of a gold bug at this point, and I'm not a gold bug normally at all, is that I'm seeing that the central banks are buying gold, and that's the main thing. And they're not buying crypto, they're buying gold. So that's where I see the demand coming from. All right, let's look at PayPal and HES. Hess is a very good company. Really, really like them. But let's look at Hess first. This is one of the ones that definitely I definitely like Hess. And I've owned it before, just for full disclosure here. Is it not coming up? Let's go HES. All right, there's Hess. Okay, it came up. And basically what's going on with Hess here, as you can see, boy, look at this. Really, since the 2020, it has been increasing in price. Now, it just tested, And it looks as if it is moving upward. So let's see if we could buy this, because this is looking very, very good. We have moved above that 200-day moving line, which is very, very good. We're above the 50-day line. I typically like to buy above the 50-day line as well. It does look like we're seeing some strength come in there. Let's look at the checklist here to see. It's 100% checklist on the William O'Neill checklist. I very much like it when we're seeing that kind of it's very, very good when we're seeing that kind of strength. When we're seeing that kind of strength in any stock, and Hess is definitely no exception here. It does look like it's very strong above the 50-day line, and it's got 100% checklist. Now the question is, can we buy it at this price? That's always the question. And here's the thing: it's just slightly extended. The 21-day line is 132, and it's currently at 142. So here's what I would recommend with HES, and I definitely think this is a good stock. Wait for it to pull back to the 21-day. Let's see if it pulls down to about 135 or so. That's where you want to buy it. You don't want to buy it here, and the reason you don't want to buy it here is very simple, because it's a little bit extended. Stocks don't go up in a straight line, so you sometimes have to wait until they pull back a little bit. But the stock in general is strong, and I think I think it's looking quite good. All right, let's take a question from TikTok. Thank you so much. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Any thoughts on FRC? Okay, let's look at FRC. See if we can kind of take a look at that one. FRC. And that's First Republic Bank. Wow. Boy, look at that. Unbelievable. So everyone can see on TikTok here. That is First Republic Bank right now. Of course, it is it still has a bid, which is incredible. 13.48. I wouldn't buy this thing because, of course, you know, it's undercapitalized. It could very well go bankrupt. And if it did go bankrupt, of course, you'd be wiped out. I don't even think I would short this one. Why? Because, well, you know, the time to short it, of course, is when it's up, you know, when it's above 100. There's just not a lot of meat left on the bone. I just would skip this one in general. You know, I think the cat's out of the bag. Now, I am short Block, or SQ. That's the symbol for, it used to be called Square. Now it's called Block. I am short that one. I tried to short the regional banks, but unfortunately, it's restricted. You can't do that, at least shorting the ETF on that. So we can't really do that now. So, you know, FRC, you know, it's interesting. I don't think we've seen the last of the weakness in this area. Let's take a look at some of the banks in this group, because I think we have a lot of weak banks, and you know, I just think we have to take a look at them. And there's a lot of them that are very, very weak. East West Bank is one of the weak ones that hasn't capitulated yet, but I think that it could possibly do that. Not a terrifically expensive stock, 51. I think this one's coming down more, to be honest with you. Part of the reason this one has a lot of, it has a lot of exposure. I think this one potentially could be a good short, East West Bank. I haven't shorted it yet, it's kind of the thing where we have to be pretty careful about this, of course. But the banks West and Southwest, this is a weak area. And let's see if we can get some other ones that I know that are kind of weak in this area that we might look at potentially shorting. Let's see. Now, Zions is pretty strong as far as I know. let's see. Prosperity. This one also is potentially, yeah, this one also may go lower. This is Prosperity Bank shares. This is interesting. This has got 271 banks. I think this is mainly in Texas and Oklahoma, in a relatively good area of the country. But I definitely think this one's weak as well. I'm not short it yet, but I've been looking at this one potentially for a short. So there's a lot of weak banks out there that, you know, it's just tough. I mean, there's a lot of weak banks out there, and I'm going to go through them to see which one's the short. I haven't really been concentrating on that, though. Been concentrating more on stocks going long. All right, let's talk to Sarah. Sarah, thank you. Let's look at the QQQ and the Spider. Now, for everybody out there, the QQQ is the NASDAQ 100. It's the 100 largest stocks in the NASDAQ. And I do think that that one is down today. Yeah, it's down. Yeah, it's down a little bit today, testing. And then, so let's jump on over to that real quick. All right. We definitely, you know, we were definitely looking good here. Mostly this is the chips that have been powering this growth, but then we pulled back a little bit today. So it's really typically a mixed bag here, But let's compare it against the Spider to see kind of, and I'm just going to do this from the first of the year. And I'm just going to really do this since the first of the year, but SPY, I want to kind of look at this, see which one is outperforming or underperforming, be that as it may. So let's take a look in those at that comparison here between those two. Okay. This is of course since the first of the year, and the Spider has underperformed the QQQ, but they're both starting to move down. So the Spider has been up about 7% since the first of the year. The QQQ is up about 15%, but I think this is going to start to change on us. I think this is going to start to change on. I want to look at a top-rated gold stock compared to that, and I'm going to look at OR. This is one of the ones that I do own. Yeah, as you can see, kind of if you look at this, this shows some of the movement into gold. This is a gold stock here. It definitely has outperformed both the QQQ and the Spider. I want to also look at AU because that's an African company, Ashanti. All right, so those are both outperforming. So as you can see, gold is starting to move upwards, and the Qs and the Spider are starting to move down. This is one of the reasons I am looking at the gold area. All right, Wheaton Precious Metals. This is a good stock. This is a Canadian company, and WPM is a buyer. There's a real interesting company. Wheaton Precious Metals is essentially a gold buyer. So, like, if you go and you mine some gold and you get some gold dust, you can go to these guys and they will pay you cash for the gold. They basically buy gold. Doing very, very well right now. A little bit of a pullback today, but up 1 cent after hours. The question is, can we look at this one as a potential buy? Well, on the technicals, it's actually not really that far extended. It's only 7% above that 21-day line. The checklist is okay. It's pretty good. But remember, Wheaton is a little bit different than some of the other ones in that it is really a purchaser of gold from other people. That's kind of their business. And last quarter, their sales were down and their profits were down. So I would be a little bit concerned about this one. It is starting to make a move up. It's 93 relative strength. But I would be a little concerned here, and the part of the reason I would be concerned on this one is due to the fact that it is a buyer of gold and not a miner of gold. So that's kind of what I would be concerned about. So I probably would pass on Wheaton Precious Metals. I probably would pass on them for this. All right, Sandeep is interested in taking a look at Atlassian Team, TEAM. Several years ago, I did extremely well with this stock and did very, very well. It doubled on me, which was nice. The question is, you know, what's going to happen now? We're looking at the weekly chart here, and we're still, unfortunately, in a sort of a downward trend on this one. The question is, has it turned up? We definitely have some nice after-hours stuff. Let's look at the daily chart here. Yeah, it's below the 200-day line. I just probably would pass right now on that. See, I was shorting it here. As you can see, I was shorting it back here. Haven't done much with it. I shorted it as it gapped down, but then that was it, and I was out of it. I just probably would not be interested in this one right now just because it is below that 200-day line. I just don't want to buy right now. And even though we are in technically in a ascending market here, I just don't want to buy below that 200-day line if I don't have to. It's just too painful when they go wrong. So that's probably I probably wouldn't go with this one. PBF, I believe this is the energy. Okay. I don't know this company that well. In Ohio and Delaware. Okay, I don't know this company. Very interesting stock. Definitely like the fact that it's trading above that 200-day line. Definitely like that. And I like the relative strength, 94. That's really good. Strong checklist, 89. So that's good. And the question is it near that 21-day line? Well, it's basically right on the 21-day line. So that is totally buyable. I want to see if there's a base, if there's a pattern on it. Let's see if we can take a look on the pattern rec. And it's a consolidation. Well, it's not really a pattern. It's about 14% below the pivot. Yeah, this could look good. It does look like it's getting some interest here. Let's see if 31%. Yeah, it's looking very strong. It's looking very strong actually. And let's see, it's five oil refineries. So yeah, again, I like this area, the oil refineries area. I want to compare this against Valero. Because that might give us some good indication of sort of how it's looking. And going forward, I really do like the oil refinery. So let's see if we can do that and put it VLO. All right. Almost the exact same chart. That's interesting. Very interesting there. Okay, let's so I can get the there we go. So basically this is the chart of Valero versus versus PBF, which is this refining stock that I don't know much about in the Midwest. And as you can see, they're pretty much similar in terms of their performance since the first of the year. This is the first of the year, basically here. And it does look like they're starting to trend up. I do like that a lot. But basically, they're about 5% up for the first of the year. So that's not bad. It's not bad. The question is it the leader? That's the question always. Is it the leader in the area? So let's look to see. I want to see the leaders in this particular area of the market. See if I can do that. There we go. And so it interesting. Marathon is probably the leader. Yeah, I think that's probably the one that you probably instead of that, I'd probably buy Marathon instead. Just because it seems to be the leading stock in this group. And that is Marathon Petroleum. Let's see. Yeah, okay, just came through earnings. Yeah, this is the one I think that you probably want to look at, in terms of a refiner, is Marathon Petroleum. A little bit stronger checklist here on the technicals, just a little bit better in general. They're all pretty good. All the refiners are pretty good in this kind of market. It's very defensive play, but I like both of those. But definitely, have to say that the refiners definitely a good place to be to park some capital. But I think you might want to look at MPC, Marathon Petroleum, because I do think it has a pretty good chart and is going well. All right, we're almost down to the last here. Let's take a look at natural gas. Natural gas has been going lower, but let's look at Boyle. This is the natural gas ETF, and as you can see, it is not exactly the best. It's got a relative strength of 1. So the question is, can this turn up? I think you just got to go and eliminate this one. I just don't think it's right at the time. I don't think it's the right way to go. Let's look at NGS, and it'll probably be the last ones. NGS. A little bit better. Natural gas services. Right now I'm not as bullish on natural gas as I am on oil. So I probably would pass on this. All right. Last question. Last person. APLS. Let's look at that. And let's take a look. Nice. It's a pharmaceutical company that I'm totally unfamiliar with. Interesting company. Let's kind of just kick the tires a little bit here. One of the things I'm seeing with this one is that sales were down last quarter. Now, that isn't necessarily indicative of everything, but sales were down last quarter. Let's look at the checklist on this one. 67% checklist. So this is my minimum. On the technicals, I think it's a little extended. So here's the thing on this one. It does look like, if you know something on this one, and that's the thing with pharmaceutical companies and biotechs, they're very hard to trade because it really depends on what you know about this particular company. The chart it's really too thin for me. I probably wouldn't trade this one. And the reason is this. The volume does not appear to be that strong, and so it does seem to be coming off the cup with the handle. There was some kind of event. The relative strength is 97, but I'd probably skip this one just because I think that you may get a pullback on this one to the 200-day line. You may get a pullback to at least 60. So I don't know what's going on with this one, but probably would not be a buyer here. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Let's see if we have any more questions from TikTok. All right, that's pretty much it. By the way, if you're watching the show and you like what you see, please like the show. It really helps us out a lot. It really, really does. If you can smash the if you can smash the like button, it really helps us. So smash that like button, it really helps us get out there to a lot of people. And also, if you want to get more information on free action trading alerts, just go to www.dallastradingfloor.com and we'll get you set up with that. That's a great thing too. And I'll be back tomorrow at 5. Hopefully we've got, let's see, one more question here. All right. Let's see. We talked about that, didn't we? MU. Okay. Probably save MU for tomorrow. But, let's take one look at MU. This is Micron Technologies, by the way, for everyone out there. Do not like this chart, unfortunately. I wish I liked this chart more, but I don't like it. The chart it pulled below that 200-day moving average. This is a tough truck. This is one of the tougher trucks, stocks to trade because, it has a 44 checklist. It's below the 200-day line. It is in a good group, but I have to say, probably wouldn't be in this one, Micron Technology. So I think you just got to skip it, unfortunately. Well, thanks everybody for taking a look at the show. I'll be back tomorrow, of course, at 5. And until then, smash the like button, of course. And until then, happy trading, everyone.